Hello and welcome to the Happy Dog Podcast. On this week's episode, we have got three members of Play 9 on our call. So we have got Rich, John and Lee, who all run a company called Play 9, and they have developed a brand new dog toy that of something I have never seen on the market before. So we're going to talk about the Rulo today. It might be helpful if you pop over to my Instagram and have a look at my reel that I've put up just so you can see what it is, because it is not easy to explain and it isn't like anything else you will have seen. So I have tried to describe it on the podcast, but I've also put a video up on Instagram which shows what it is actually like. So have a look. And then in today's episode, we're going to have a chat all about the development of it, how they came up with the concept and how it is different to anything else that we've seen before. I hope you enjoy. Hi guys, welcome to the Happy Dog Podcast.
Hello.
Okay.
Hey. Thank you so much for having us.
There's a lot of us today. There are four of us on the podcast today, which I think is the most I've ever had on a podcast in one go. So you promise not to talk over one another. So we're going to do our best, although with a slight delay on Zoom, I'm sure that there will be moments where we go along the way. So just to help everyone get a handle on which voice goes with which person, I'm the only female, so that hopefully is helpful in this trying to work out who's who. But do you guys want to introduce yourselves, what you do within the business, and then everyone's got a name with the voice?
Okay, yeah. Hi guys, my name's Rich, and I don't have a massively high voice, so hopefully I'm not sounding too female like but yeah, I'm heading up all the technical side of the business, so I take care of the website, the design, the creative, what you kind of see when you jump on there, make sure it's all kind of working most of the time, hopefully. But yes, that's kind of my main role. And then obviously with all of us, we'll put heads together and sort of figure out the marketing and all the other wonderful things that we're sort of cooking up. But yeah, that's me in a nutshell.
Excellent. I think I need someone like you in my business because my website's often not working and it's just
it. You are not having him, seriously.
I wouldn't wish my website on anyone, I don't think. Okay, John.
Obviously involved with the guys for all the development that we've done from the start, so sort of coming up with the idea and everything. And then I've kind of covered a lot of the legal side of things. So I sort of did a lot of the intellectual property, registering patent and designs and trademarks and things like that. So I've sort of suffered for that stuff. Other than that, I'm sort of doing a lot of promotional outreach, so marketing outreach, contacting people like yourself to go on lovely podcasts, reaching out to influencers and dog trainers to try and get the Rulo to as many people as possible.
John, it sounds like you drew the short straw in this, I have to say. Doing the intellectual I'd be like, oh, no thank you, I'll make the coffee. I'll see you all later.
Hi, Kim. Thank you so much for having us on your lovely podcast. Right. Wonderful person. Really appreciate it. Yeah, my name's Lee. Nice to meet everyone. I hope you're all cool. So I'm sort of community builder and content and marketing. So any sort of content that you see online or anything to do with any of our socials and things like that is probably to do with me. And then just driving the business forward, trying to get as many people to know about what we're doing as possible and trying to save as many dogs and help as many dogs as possible is probably in a nutshell on this side of the business.
Who has a dog? Have you all got dogs or...?
I do. Sadly, John's family dog literally passed the other day.
Oh, John, I'm so sorry.
No, that's very kind of you. No, that's very kind. It's he was a very old boy. We think he was a rescue. And my parents were told he was about 3 years old when they got him, but they weren't certain. He lived to be 17 or we think 18.
Wow.
He had a good long life, bless him.
Okay. Okay, Millie, cool, you listening? 17, 18, that dog.
I keep telling Millie she can't leave me. Millie has to live forever. So like 17, 18, that's another 6 years. That's all good.
Yeah, that's all good. Well, I think like, I've got quite a nice sort of story about him as well from sort of, you know, obviously just towards the end, because he was able to get one of our Rulos to play with a couple of weeks ago. And it actually, I think it gave him a bit of a, you know, for his last sort of couple of weeks, it gave him a bit of focus. It gave him something to do. And he took to it so well, which was amazing.
Amazing.
Yeah, he definitely had some sort of doggy dementia. You know, he wasn't there. He would sort of bark at nothing and things like that. And we could tell he was losing it, kind of thing. And then yeah, just having the Rulo to play with, he was engaged with it. He was using scent work, and to see an old dog just so into something quickly was amazing. So he did give up before he went.
Oh, I love that. Okay, right. Let's talk about this Rulo.
That's not the reason that he went.
No. It just brought joy to him. Yes, just for clarity's sake. Yeah. So let's talk about the Rulo, because this is a dog toy like nothing I've ever seen before, I have to say. Well, it's big for start offs. And when you've got big dogs, there aren't that many big toys that are robust enough. Like, I have a very clumsy pointer. I'm not saying he's a particularly big dog, but he is not aware of where his limbs are. And a lot of toys cause a lot of damage. And he loves this. And I love it because my kitchen is not being destroyed in the process. So where did you come up with the idea of a toy? Does it have this shape have a name?
It does. It's called a Rulo triangle.
That's the
correct technical name for it.
Okay.
But it's based on something called a shape of constant width. So basically, the idea of that shape originally is that if you were to, it's hard to do it on a podcast because you can't really see it, but
yes, I will. Imagine, there will be links, and I'm going to put it on my Insta and stuff so people will be able to see, because I don't even know where to start trying to describe the shape. So I can
it's the same all the way around, basically. Yeah. Whichever you look at, it's the same length, same width, exactly the same, equal on the sides. So the idea is that if you laid something flat on it, like a, you know, tabletop or something, and sort of moved it, it would actually roll level the same way as if you had a ball underneath it and dropped it along that. And it's just a weird thing because our brains kind of look at it and go, that shouldn't do that. But that's not necessarily the sort of origin of it. But for me personally, it was like I kind of went into sort of stuff that's a bit different and scientific and, you know, geometric and all the rest of it. And going back to sort of where this sort of came from, we were chatting about obviously where to go and what to do with, you know, with play nine and sort of figure out something we could start with. And we wanted to sort of, you know, do something a little different if we could, and sort of settled on the dog treat dispenser room. And we're chatting about shapes, and obviously we're looking at the existing stuff and the cons and everything, and seeing if we could do something similar, or, you know, how could we kind of improve it, basically. But and sort of amidst that, I said I had this thing popped in my head, and it was a bit like almost like a little movie playing where, you know, it was, I could see that moving, that shape, and obviously as it is at the minute, to the point where I was like, that looks, I was almost certain, I was like, that's definitely the shape. I said to the guys, I think this is it. I think this has to be the shape. And it was sort of born from there, and obviously kind of one of those, as the other guys would say, it's sort of, as we kind of got to the point where we're kind of getting to prototype and actually kind of getting one in the flesh, it did pretty much exactly what kind of expected it to, which is incredible. But it's just something that was so kind of, you know, there's a few properties to it. I liked is the aesthetics of it. You know, it's quite a nice, unique shape. It's different, and it definitely makes sort of dogs think and play, and, you know, enriches them. And you know what I mean? It sort of
definitely
does the job. And like you say, for big dogs, it's ideal as well.
Yeah. So essentially, it is a three-sided pyramid, but all of the joints are curved. So there's no straight edge to it, is there, as such? It's not a pyramid as you would imagine in Egypt. They're all slightly convex.
It's a nice sort of a safe.
There's no sharp pointy bits on it, like an actual pyramid.
Yeah.
But that's probably the easiest way to describe it. It's a three-sided pyramid that's all curved.
Yes.
And that's why it rolls along so nicely. And then in one side, it's got a large hole that you can fill with. I filled it with kibble just because it was what I had to hand. And then it's got other little holes, which I'm guessing are air holes to stop, to facilitate the treats coming out and to prevent anything getting stuck inside.
But it's also for the scent as well, so that obviously when you're rolling around, the scent can come out and also makes it easier to clean.
Yes.
The thing that's quite interesting is that when, so I've got Rottweiler, and as you probably mentioned, I won't say the K word, it's a dirty word in our household, but we had one of those other toys that's extremely loud, made out of hard plastic, just mashes up your kitchen.
Yeah.
And when me and John work from the same place, and Rich works remotely from his place in Eastbourne. And we were forever on Zoom calls or, you know, trying to do calls. And my Rottweiler, she's really well trained because my wife's a trainer. But she's stubborn. The dog, not my wife.
just for clarity.
Definitely not my wife.
Definitely not the wife.
Lots of attributes, but stubborn is not one. But the dog would just forever, it's just, you know what it's like when the Rottweiler wants something, they want something.
Yeah.
And, you know, so we're forever sort of on a Zoom call, stick another treat dispenser on the floor, and that was just as loud as Tukey whining, you know, and we were just trying to come up with things, just trying to optimize a toy that fits all types of dog, that isn't really loud, that's easy to use, but is also enriching. You can use it as a slow feeder. We wanted to kind of come up with the super toy that ticks all of those boxes across the board. And weirdly enough, the size of it is interesting that you bring up that it's quite big. So what we chose to do, because we wanted to come up with a toy that worked for big dogs as well, because like you mentioned, you don't really see them that often. I think they get left by the wayside a lot. So, but we didn't want to leave the little pooches out as well. So the actual size is optimal for, like Rich said, the way that it moves, it's really erratic movement, which obviously keeps them engaged. But you can use it. We've tested it on really, really small dogs as well. And because of the nature of the shape and the way that it's curved, it only takes like a little nudge or a little nose and the whole thing will tip over and then kind of self-propel, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, definitely. It does, because there's not actually a lot of it touching the floor, is it, when it's flat, so then you've got a small bit touching, so you could get a dog can get their nose underneath it and flip it as easily as they could just bash it with a paw. So yeah, definitely any dog could benefit from using it. I think for the little dogs out there, they have a lot of options, and it was nice to see something that maybe, obviously I work with a lot of big dogs and strong dogs and powerful dogs. And when we come to enrichment, we can make stuff like out of cardboard boxes, but they just destroy it in seconds. It's nice for them to have something that's robust that they can really use, properly use, without it being like, oh, no, be careful. Like, don't, oh, they've chewed a bit off that one, or that noise is driving me absolutely insane and I can't cope with the bashing of the hard plastic against my kitchen cabinet again. So it is nice that it is, like you say, it's ideal for any dog, but it does, for me, working with a range of dogs, it was nice to be like, oh, that's good. That's something I can recommend to those stronger breeds that, or even like not necessarily big, just strong, like a Staffy who just likes to bash stuff really hard. Like it's perfect for them as well. So that's the rollout. So that's one, that's the main product that you have out at the minute. How long did it take to develop it? I'm always fascinated.
We started development in this year. So that's when we sort of started coming up with the idea, obviously realizing we can optimize on what's already out there on the market in terms of like a treat dispensing enrichment toy. And then as Rich was saying, we started looking into the shape and that unique design, so it rolls erratically and it's stimulating as well as enriching and all of these things. And so our timeline's sort of been, since March, it's been a bit mad, really. We've got a lot done. We've squeezed a lot in this year. So we obviously came up with it. Luckily, we have a friend who has a 3D printer.
So that's a handy friend to have.
Yeah, always. In this day and age, I think so. And so we sort of, you know, obviously finalized the design that we wanted. We needed to test it. So we got him to print us one with 3D printer. Obviously, that wasn't made out of the best material. So it was just the sort of plastic that the 3D printer uses. And obviously, we knew it was eventually going to have to be made out of dog safe rubber.
Yeah.
And you know, that would, you know, obviously be good if they you know, bites into it, but also reduces noise and things like that, and helps it roll better as well. So we knew that the material wasn't optimal, but at least we had something that we could. So we've got a Facebook community, which is Play Nine, and we put the feelers out to our Play Niners on there, and we got wonderful feedback of people who were prepared to try out our 3D prototype with their dog. And so we sort of dropped it off to a load of different dog owners, and we got them to fill out surveys, and we got brilliant feedback, basically really good feedback from all of them. And that was sort of dogs from all different sizes and everything. And so we tweaked things like the size slightly. And then we went to sort of look to get it manufactured at a factory.
Oh. It's just so something I'd love to do, but the thought of it, I don't know anyone with a 3D printer, so that's always, I think that's where you have to start with most stuff, isn't it? But I think that process is just so interesting, because I wouldn't even know where to start. Like, I wouldn't even know if I had an idea, which I don't, I'm not that person. I would be like, it's a great idea, just going to leave it there. So what else have you got? Have you got other things planned? Or is this like your main focus at the moment? Because obviously it's still so new to you all, or is your brain like fizzing with ideas of other things that you can make and bring to market? Or are you just like, no, Kim, we're just doing this at the minute, because have you just heard what we've been through for the last year?
Do you know what? It's I think all of us have got some form of ADHD in some way, shape, or. Like our brains are constantly on. So the thing is, we've packed so much into this last few months that I think a holiday would be the next thing that we'd be thinking of. But second to that, it's that we've got a bunch of cool ideas for different SKUs on this product on the Rulo, but we've also got ideas for future things as well. The main thing that we want to do, we really want to create a brand that is premium quality, amazing stuff for dogs, that just makes dogs empowered and happier and healthier and safer, and then in turn does the same for their sort of poochie parents. And you know, that's what we're going for. So, but I don't know if you would agree, boys, but I feel that we're riding the wave a little bit at the moment, because it's going, you know, one way and we're going, oh, okay, right, now we need to, and then it's going the next way. Okay, right, we need to, i.e. John Bigoya, you know, just mad stuff happening where we're having to figure it out as we go. I don't know, but yeah, we've got plenty of ideas. It's the time is the problem, I think.
Yeah, I bet. Time is always the downer on all of it, isn't it? Like, all these ideas, but it's finding the time to fit them in whilst also promoting what you've already got and building on that as well. So I think that ideas of novel things in the dog market must be quite challenging as well, because there's so much stuff out there. It's just, and a lot of, I mean, a lot of it's good, but some of it is just the same thing in a slightly different shape, or got a different pattern on it or something, whatever it is that's got them around the patents, or so coming up with new stuff must be the biggest challenge of it all.
It definitely is. It's I mean, that was the thing. I think we were never going to sort of settle for anything that was just simply a tweak of with a, you know, different color or something. So, you know, it was we're always going to try and, if possible, trying to come up with something that was genuinely new. I mean, you can't do that all the time necessarily, but with that kind of approach and sort of that aim, you know, at least you're gonna get something out, you know, if you do succeed in that route, you know. So I think that's where we've all kind of, you know, if we're gonna do it, we're gonna do it as well as we can.
I think that's the best way,
you know. And then, you know, it's just nice to see as well, I think, just even now, like, being able to stop a little bit. I know we've still got loads of stuff to do and we're busy as hell, but you know, it's so nice to see, you know, people coming back and going, this is great, my dog's loving it, and seeing the clips and things, and, you know, and it's just, you know, you kind of forget, because you're so busy and wrapped up in stuff. You go, oh man, this actually is a really cool thing. So I think as long as we can do that and keep doing that with future things, then brilliant.
Yeah, definitely. And Lee, does your wife come to you with suggestions? Because she's a dog trainer. She's like, can you design something that fixes this problem? Because that would be, I think that would be me. I'd be constantly saying to my other half, I need this. Can you design something? Because this would be really helpful. Or is she a bit like, I'll just let you get on with it?
You know what, Kim? She suggests a lot of things to me, but they're normally along the lines of, can you be quieter? can you move the car? No, do you know what? She's brilliant, actually, and she's like a full-time groomer and trainer. So actually, it's, we bounce a lot of ideas between the four of us. And the great thing about Hannah is that because she's kind of our person on the ground in that sense, you know, we're all super, super into dogs, but because she's training day in, day out, she gets those little, I'd say little bits of information that when we hear it, we can go, ah, right. Because the thing about what we're trying to do, obviously, is just add value and just problem solve. So if there's problems to fix, then we can do that. That's awesome. And if we're hearing things where, you know, you're like, oh, what were your clients like today? And she's like, oh, so-and-so said this and da-da-da-da-da-da. And you can pick up and things go, oh, there's something to optimize there. Or there's something that we can help with. So yeah, to answer your question, yeah, I mean, she often, when we came up with the Rulo, I think she was like, oh God, boys, another one of your, like, where's this going to go kind of thing. And then the first, when, like John said, when we got it 3D printed, we came back and she went, oh, that looks awesome. That's really cool. Okay, let's see if it works. And we put it down for Tukey. And just immediately, she just, totally got it, totally went for it. And Hannah just sat there and went, okay, you might be onto something here, guys. You know, so, but like Richard said as well, it's mad. We're running every hour of the day at the moment, you know, 7 days a week. So it's, just finding the time to keep kind of putting pen to paper.
Yeah, definitely. I just think I just know what I'd be like. I'd be constantly nagging for something to fix every problem that I come across.
What's your biggest problem as a
dog? I don't know. Oh, my biggest problem is, it is engaging some dogs. I've just been to work with a golden retriever who's had one hell of a life already. Actually, I might take it because next time I go, because she's obsessed by chasing pheasants and deer, and their garden is like the countryside. So it's not fenced in. There's pheasants right there. So she's constantly reinforced by them all of the time. And we were doing a bit of work today on recall, and she can do it, but she's had 3 years where she's never had to do any training in her entire life. She lived outside, no one bothered with her. She was just left. So she's never had to learn. She's never had to engage. And her owner was saying, doesn't play, not really interested by food, not really interested by anything, just wants to chase pheasants. And those dogs are the most challenging, because it's finding the thing that motivates them is the hardest thing. So having a variety of different options, so you can say, what about this, what about that, what about the other, can be really helpful in getting them stimulated. Because once you've got them stimulated, once they're like, oh, that's interesting, I can do that, then you can build on that. But sometimes finding that initial brick to start the building work from is the hardest thing. So I definitely like variety in my training kit that I have in my car. So I've got lots of different things. Some are dog stuff, some are just random stuff that I've picked up. I'll use a lot out my recycling bin because it's smelly. So cardboard boxes, especially if you buy cake, which is always like why how I get away with it. I'm like, oh, I'll get some cake. The cake box smells really good to dogs, so we can use stuff like that. So I definitely, for me, more variety in things that doesn't have to be hard work, because there's the basic stuff like a licky mat where there's no skill involved at all, they're just eating, or there's like the Nina Austin toys where they're quite complicated and a lot of dogs will not work. It's not worth the effort. So having more stuff like the Rulo that's in the middle that takes a little bit of engagement, but it's also easy to get the food out of, but they have to work a little bit. Those are the things more in that space would be good from my side that doesn't destroy people's kitchens. Hard plastic being bashed around. I think that's what the whole thing is missing. It's that middle ground of engaging but not challenging in a I just can't be asked to do it type way.
What's cool about it as well is obviously you can sort of change the sizes of the treats that you put in there.
Yeah.
So, and we find with, you know, we spent a lot of time sort of testing all the prototypes, different sizes and weights and stuff like that. And the dispersion, the amount, how often it comes out seems to be just about perfect.
Okay.
Obviously, like, Tuki dog is, you know, she's well trained, and obviously Hannah's been cracking the whip since day one.
Yeah. Kind of
again on the dog, but she's so, you have to take it away from her. We kind of were saying recently that maybe the actual biggest problem with the Rulo is that the dog will cry and whine when it doesn't have it. So they're kind of addictive, I think. But I don't know what you think about that, John.
Definitely. Well, as I mentioned, my parents' dog, who unfortunately passed away quite recently, he got hold of the Rulo. He was very old, had doggy dementia, and a couple of weeks ago he had his Rulo, and it's the best thing because he just barks at nothing, and when he's got that, he's engaged with it, he's quiet, he's just you can see how into it he is.
It made him look like a pup, dude, don't you think?
It did, yeah, because he looks like, you know, he looked like a sort of doddery old man, you know. He trips over his own feet, he's very slow. And then, yeah, he'll just find something to bark at and just keep barking. And yeah, he doesn't know why he's doing it. But then, yeah, we gave him the Rulo, and straight away, he's very food orientated. So as soon as he sort of gave it a couple of sniffs, he realized like, oh, hang on, there's something inside here.
Yeah.
And as soon as he started nudging it, he looked like a pro at using it, to be fair. He was like really flicking it with his snout.
Oh.
And then when it got into the corner of the room, he'd pull it back with his paw. And he was just so into it. And then occasionally when I'd speak to my mum on the phone, I'd just hear him in the background, like grizzling or barking. And she'd just go, oh, he wants his Rulo. She's like, sorry, it's on the side. He's heard me chatting on the phone and now he's barking because he wants it. And that was just lovely because then I could just hear my mum just go, okay, here you go. And she puts it down. And then he's fine for the rest of the phone call.
I think as well with old dogs that are struggling, like I find it with Millie because she's got three legs. So her world has been made quite small over the last year because she can't go on the big walks that she used to. We have a bag for her and we carry her and she goes to coffee shops and we do a lot with her. But I always have the guilt. I have a young dog who we go running with and we'll run the Three Peaks with, and he'll be out for a couple of hours every day and we'll do agility with him. And he has all of these opportunities that Millie has had in her life. It's not like she's not had them, but they do get old and their world does get smaller and smaller because they can't walk as far, or they get stressed by certain things, or they just can't do as much. They get tired easy, they get grumpy and maybe aggressive because of the grumpy, or they have canine dementia and it's not easy to have them out and about. And I do think that there is a bit of like owner guilt that they're just sleeping all day, and that's fine. Old dogs absolutely should be sleeping most of the day, but you still want to have high points in the day. And a lot of stuff is either a bit easy and it's not really giving them what you want, or they're not fussed by it anymore. They're like, well, I'd just wait. I'll get tea in a minute. I'm not bothered. So having stuff that they can alleviate a little bit of that guilt that you feel when you have an older dog or a dog that has challenges like Millie, it is really nice because it you're like, oh, good, you're having fun, you're enjoying stuff. Like, there's joy in your life here. It's not all about, right, what we're going to do today. So I think that's really important. And I'm not saying everyone feels the guilt. I feel the guilt. especially, I think, because I have the two. I have the young dog that does all the stuff. And then Millie, who like goes for car rides because that's what she likes to do. So doesn't feel quite as balanced. Millie is 12.
Yeah, how old? Stanley as well?
Stanley is four.
Four, right. I would say there's quite a difference.
There's quite a difference. And it was fine. Although we had, just before Millie lost her leg, we had started dropping her, one of her walks down, because she didn't need 2 hours. And Stan doesn't need 2 hours, but we like to give him 2 hours. Me and my husband both really active, both run with him and stuff. So I'm going for a run, I'll take the dog type thing. We knew that this would come at some point because there was an 8-year age gap between them. But obviously when she lost her leg, everything changed quite dramatically overnight. So yeah, but she's quite happy sleeping in my office now, tucked up in her bed.
She's an absolute sweetheart as well, bless her.
She is. She's just the queen. Like, she just, whatever she wants, she gets carried everywhere. There's nothing she doesn't want for. So. We're like, oh no, Millie says no, so we're not doing it. And that's the end of that. Next. So yeah. Okay. So anything else that you want to share with the group? Or have we exhausted the Rulo and now we just need everyone to go and buy one? Is that what we're at?
I don't know. You got any thoughts, Richie boy?
No, I mean, I think we're just really excited to see, because obviously it's early days. It's now, yeah, you can go and buy it if you go to the website, but it's just sort of...
What's the website called?
Don't miss the opportunity.
How do you go? I think about
that. I'll make sure it's in the show notes. So if people
every day, I can't remember. No, it's fine. I think really excited to see kind of what the actual response is, and just say, like I said earlier, sort of people coming back and sort of sending us clips of videos and just enjoying it, and just again, because I think we're open as well in that sense, where we do listen to our feedback, and you know, we want to make it the best we possibly can. So, you know, if it's the case, is, you know, so far so good, and I think if there's bits where we can either do another version or we can do something that goes alongside it, you know, and it all kind of steers us a little bit, like I said earlier, like it's not necessarily a straight line, all of this, like a spaghetti line, and kind of all over the shop, but
yeah,
it's kind of great though, because that's where you get into all the cracks and crevices and find out what's really going on and what people kind of are talking about. And I think that's the really rewarding bit, is just seeing, yeah, just literally dog owners and their dogs enjoying it, and you know, kind of nice. It's just nice to know that, you know, we've done something that's positive, because there's a lot of businesses and a lot of things we've done in the past where it's been a job, but it doesn't really go past that, and it's just a bit, yeah, a bit stale, and you know, there's no real purpose or kind of satisfaction. You just, you know, just doing it to sort of meet, you know, get your ends met. But
I definitely find that with my job, that I feel like when I get up, I'm not just doing something to pay the bills. Like, it's definitely more of a vocation, and it's something I feel like at the end of the day that I've really helped and achieved stuff. Exactly. And I never had that in my like office jobs. I just turned up, did the work, tried to do as little as possible, left. And like, and that was my main aim, was how little can I get away with, and then crack on. Whereas now I don't even feel like I'm at work half the time. I just turn up to an appointment and then go home, and it's not work as such. And that's I think that's the nice part of it all.
I mean, it's very fortunate we can all do this, I think, as well. That's the thing. And it's like you say, it's like we're at the sort of the other side, where we sometimes don't feel like we can do enough, like, you know, you're kind of so busy, and you know, it's just like, oh, I'd love to do this, but we haven't got time to do this, but we'll put it on the list, and so forth. But it's just nice to be able to do something a bit different.
Yeah, definitely. It's a different way of looking at work, I think. I always say now that I'm unemployable, because I've run my own business for 14 years. I'd struggle to be told what to do by somebody else, without the nice bits that I get, like Christmas shopping on a Wednesday afternoon, or you know, meeting someone for coffee. And I like all those bits that goes with being self-employed as well, where you have a little bit of flexibility. You might work 70, 80 hours in a week, but you can equally go for a coffee at 10.
I love the way you put it, John, because John always says it, because we're always like, exactly that. You know, if you've got purpose with what you're doing, you're just on it the whole time. But John always says, have a little bit of holiday every day. And I really like that. Remember that, so, you know, whether even just going to the supermarket when you know it's not busy,
or
going to the gym when you know it's not busy, or things where it's like optimal for your time, but most people can't do it. But yeah, I've always liked that sentiment, mate. That's always stuck with me.
That's such a good way of thinking of it.
Yeah,
I love that way. I'm definitely thinking of it that way, because sometimes I do get the guilt, like I should be doing stuff, but equally, because I work on a Saturday, I'm like, well, I still have to do all the stuff, so I might as well just find a little bit of time during the week. I'm unemployable now. I don't think I could ever, and that feeling motivates me, because I'm like, well, you can't get a job anywhere else, so you have to do the work.
That's cool though. Do you say 14 years you've run your business for?
Yeah,
that's awesome. Good on you. That's a hard thing to do. Good on you.
Yeah, I started as I got made redundant probably because it didn't work very hard. They were like, she can go. And I wanted to be a dog trainer since I was little. And so I set up as a dog walker because it is easier to set up as a dog walker. You don't need as much qualifications. And you get like a constant income. And I grew that business quite big. At one point I had 8 members of staff, and like for a dog walking business, it's not a huge business, but it's for a dog walker. And I did dog training on the side, although that was my main passion. And then when I had my daughter 9 years ago, I sold the dog walking part to one of my dog walkers and then went full time with the training and behavior stuff. And now I'm a CCAB. So it's all worked out in the long run. Played the long game, but yeah, I love it so much. I'm just so fortunate in what I get to do every day. Sometimes it is a bit of a pinch me moment, and you'll see on Instagram sometimes it'll be like 10 years ago, you're now living your dream from 10 years ago. And I'm like, yes, I actually am. So yeah. And having a child and being a dog trainer it just balances so well. It's just such a nice balance of, I can be flexible with my hours, but still work enough that it doesn't impact my income and stuff. So it's just perfect in so many different ways. Yeah. And then I get to do the podcast as well, which, you know, in a normal job, you couldn't be a dog trainer and a podcast person in one job. That's not often it's not advertised very often. So, and I get to chat to people, and I love that side of it as well. I love getting to know other parts of the industry, and whereas I'd never talked to people who've developed a dog toy before, and I just find it really interesting. I love the journey that people have been on, and that there's all of that side of stuff too. I love chatting to people about how they get to, or how they've got to where they are now.
Well, it's all the iceberg thing, isn't it? Because often, yeah, like we've found this loads recently, is obviously people are seeing our website or seeing the Rulo, and they're kind of their version of that is, oh, I've just seen this thing, and then under the water, like all of us are just like flapping like crazy.
Yeah, exactly.
From, you know, figuring out the legal side of it to actually how to manufacture a thing, how to do it ethically, you know, make sure everything's sustainable. How do you then get that thing to deliver to someone's house? So, you know, the amount of stuff Rich has been doing on the website, where it's just, you know, just absolute madness kind of coding that, you know, you've had to learn that on the jump off the cliff and learn it on the way down kind of thing. And it's, you know, people can see that side of it, do they? So it's interesting.
And that is another bit of the job that I love as well, because I have a website and it's got a bit out of hand, and we're working on reining it back in. But I've never built a website before, and I did it on Squarespace. So it is a template. It's a drag and drop type thing. It's very simple, but it's just, it's nice to be able to do all the bits of stuff, or at least discuss all the bits of stuff and learn. Like, I would never have known how to do a website. I wouldn't even know where to start with one before. I wouldn't even know what a domain name was before I started. And I had to learn it all. And I do like the variety that being self-employed brings you, as much as I might whinge about the accounting side of it. The rest of it, I really enjoy. I enjoy doing the social media, but with social media, you might see someone who's got 100,000 followers, but they've been on a journey to get there as well. No one gets those overnight. So I do find it all very interesting. I do like to hear about where people started and where they've ended up, especially in the dog world, because it's very rarely a straight line from, like, I left school and I became a dog trainer and I've just been a dog trainer ever since. Like, that's a very rare story. So, well, thank you so much for giving up your time to be on. Thank you for my Rulo. I'm going to go and my dogs are very confused as to why it's sat on the desk. I'm not filled with food.
Does Stanley like the Rulo?
He does. Yeah, he loves it.
Awesome.
Yeah. Because
just answer your question from earlier. You asked what the sort of future for us is.
Oh, yeah.
Obviously, look out for us next year, because we will be sort of doing promotional things at dog events throughout the year. So you should see us at things like that. Also,
Do you have any in the diary so far, or not yet?
We've entered John for Crofts.
He's best in show.
John's going to be 100% best in show. Look at him, gorgeous man.
But we are doing a promotional thing just before Christmas in a couple of weeks' time, called Winter Woof. In Hyde Park. So it's at St John's Church in Hyde Park, and we're going to be giving away a couple of Rulos So hopefully we can get as many dogs Christmas present Rulos as possible.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. Yeah, Stan does love it. And because he's quite clumsy, it feeds into his best abilities of just hitting stuff. If he was a human man, he would be that person. Like, if there's something broke, hit it with a hammer, like, and it will fix it. That's his approach to life. So yeah, so he has some of the he's quite clever with, he's quite stupid generally, but with some stuff when it comes to getting food, he can be quite clever, but he is very much like brute force it. So he definitely does like the fact that he can do that, and that's like the aim of the game. So Awesome. Maybe I'll see you in real life at some events next year. I have to let you know where you are, and I'll come and find you.
Yeah, 100%. No, we're always up for a hang. So it's yeah. Thank you so much for having us.
Oh, my pleasure. My pleasure. And
play9.co.uk, Facebook, Play9 World, Instagram, Play9 World, TikTok, Play9. Thank you.
Well done.
I'll make sure they're all in the show notes for you guys. I'll message you if I can't find them, but I think I've got most of them jotted down. So yeah, I'll find them. I'll put them in the show notes, and then I'll hopefully people will have seen the reel that I'll do with Stan and his Rulo, so you can see what it actually is, because it is really hard to describe on a podcast. It's a very visual toy, isn't it? For audio media. Great, guys. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Cheers, Kim.
Bye. So I hope you enjoyed our chat with the guys from Play9. The Rulo is a really great toy. They did send me one for free, for full disclosure, but I am really impressed with it, and definitely something that a lot of my clients will be able to get a lot out of. So check it out. Have a look on their website. I've linked everything that they've mentioned on the show notes. So have a look on my Instagram if you want to see some dogs using the Rulo, or check out their website, their own social media, etc. I think understanding how these things come to market, well, I find it really interesting anyway, because it's something that I know absolutely nothing about. I'm sure many of you are in the same boat as me. If you've enjoyed today's podcast, please don't forget to share, like, send me some feedback. That's always much appreciated. This is our last episode of 2023. As of January 24, what we're going to start doing is a fortnightly episode, just to take a little bit of pressure off me, and to make sure that you have regular episodes. So from the beginning of January, check us out every other week, and I will see you there. Have a great Christmas and a lovely new year, and good luck in 2024.